Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. We said last time that the ark was returned by the Philistines because when they captured the ark and took it into their land, God smote, that's an old word, but it's a good word. He struck them with miserable problems. And they recognized that this was a result of the presence of God in their midst. Now, you'd think that wherever God goes, blessings flow. Well, read your Bible. Sometimes when God shows up, it's not to bless, it's to smite, it's to hurt. The difference is a matter of relationship with Him. The Philistines were not worshipers of God. They were enemies of God. They were hoping that their God would be able to subdue the God of Israel. When they put the two objects side by side, their statue of their God and the ark of the Lord, they came back the next morning and their God was lying face down, their statue of their God. Those who worship idols, the Bible says idols are nothing in and of themselves, but those who worship idols are actually worshiping demons. Now, the Philistines recognized, okay, we made a big mistake. We don't want to keep the ark here with us. They sent it back. We talked about how they did that. They put it on a cart, and it was taken back to Israel. But look right at the end. I mean, the good news, we got the ark back. But look right at the end of chapter 6, verse 19. But God struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh, these would be Israelites, putting 70 of them to death because they looked, and they had looked into the ark of the Lord. The people mourned because of the heavy blow the Lord had dealt with them. And the men of Beth Shemesh asked, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?" Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your place." So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, And the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, folks, when I was teaching previously, here's full confession, when I was teaching previously, we looked at the fact that the Israelites were camped at Ebenezer, and I said they should have taken a clue from that. Well, that's because I hadn't been reminded that the stone of Ebenezer had not yet been set up. But I want you to see that in this place where they had previously known defeat, and where they had then resorted to trying to use the Ark of the Lord as some sort of good luck charm, some sort of amulet, some sort of talisman, something they could control, an idol, if you will, not really worshiping God, but instead trying to manipulate God and get God to do their bidding. In that same place, God is going to bless them now and give them a monument to his faithfulness. But the prelude to that is that the people have to discover the holiness of God. And the first step in that regard was that when the ark came back, and some of the people disobeyed what God had said about the way that the ark was to be treated, God struck down those who were disobedient. Now, if you look at your footnote, in the NIV here, it says 70 of them were put to death. Most Hebrew manuscripts and the Septuagint record that number not as 70, but as 50,070. Wow. Which was it? I don't know. You know, we've got a variance in the manuscripts, and the NIV went with the lower number. Perhaps in part because it seemed more palatable, and perhaps in part because it's hard to imagine how 50,070 could have all lined up to look inside the ark. It sounds more like the sort of thing you'd expect a group of about 70 people to do, if that many. But regardless of whether it was 50,070 or whether it was 70, it's a lot of people. And the response of the people was that they mourned because of the heavy blow that the Lord had dealt them. And they asked, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God?" I just wish that there were people in our country today who would ask themselves that question. There is no fear of God in this land. There is no fear of God in our churches. Tragically, people see God as one of the rivals for their affections and attentions, and they feel like they're being pretty nice if they give God part of their week. We need to realize that God blesses us with the opportunity to serve Him, and we need to be grateful for the privilege of being involved. But let me tell you something. It's not because poor God just couldn't do it without us. We need Him. He doesn't need us. So the first thing that God does as He begins to reconnect and reestablish these people is to demonstrate His holiness, and because they had disobeyed and disregarded the holiness of the Lord, just satisfying their own curiosity by looking into the Ark of the Covenant, which God had said they weren't to touch, God struck them down. And when they saw that the hand of the Lord struck down these people, they were afraid. And they said, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God?" The point number one for today's lesson is that in order to be reconciled to God, you must recognize that He is holy. That's point number one. It's not the only point, but it's point number one. Okay? Now, for 20 years, nearly 20 years, 20 years in all, the Ark of the Lord was in a place just being guarded, not a focal point of worship. And the people grieved because they knew that things were not right between them and God. And they were having problems in their everyday life. The Philistines were still difficult. And they wanted to be reconciled to God. There was a desire on their part to have things be as it should be, to be at peace with God. And so they said to Samuel, "We're not happy with the way things are. We're not satisfied. There's a stirring within them. That's the mercy of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved," wrote John Newton. And so Samuel said to these people as they mourned and sought after the Lord, Samuel said to them, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." If I had been unfaithful to my wife, which thank God I have not, but if I had been unfaithful to my wife and I had a mistress in Memphis and a mistress in Nashville and a mistress in Atlanta, and as I travel around, I've got these other women that are my soulmates. That's what a certain politician called it when he cheated on his wife. He'd found his soulmate. Professing Christian politician, by the way. But if I had these mistresses, and then I just grew unhappy because I missed Mrs. Wood, and I said, I want to get back with you. I want to be reconciled to you. It would be very appropriate if she said, "If you have any hope of being reconciled to me, you have got to totally, permanently sever your relationships with these other women. You can't have a mistress in Memphis and a mistress in Nashville and a mistress in Atlanta. You've got to be devoted to me alone." That's part of the reason God invented marriage, was to give us a picture of the exclusive relationship between Christ and the church. Read Ephesians 5. So, Samuel says, if you're serious about being reconciled to God, you have got to put away these other gods. Because God will not be one of your gods. You bring these other gods into the picture, God's out of the picture. He is not one of the deities. He alone is God. And so the people said, okay. And they put away their Baals and Ashtoreths. Now, first of all, I want you to see that I think it's interesting that while keeping Baals and Ashtoreths and worshiping Baals and Ashtoreths, they were expressing their longing for God and wanting things to be right. I mean, how stupid can you be? Wouldn't you look at them and say, well, what do you need God for if you've got these gods? Well, the answer to that is because these aren't really gods. Well, then the next question is, then what are you doing with these things? What in the world? What are you thinking? But sadly, that is a picture of the human heart. Goes all the way back to the garden. Satan deceived our parents by telling them that they could be like God if instead of doing what God says, they would just do what they want to do, which was really what he wanted them to do. So they traded obedience to the one true God to obedience and service to a creature, a created thing. Romans 1 says that's the pattern. They go from worshiping God to worshiping created things, and serving created things. I know people whose lives are religiously devoted to sports. I know people whose lives are religiously devoted to making money. I know people whose lives are religiously devoted to food. Okay? It's what they're all about. But of course, they also believe in God and they want God. But their life is completely out of whack because they're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. They're pursuing things that ultimately can't satisfy. And that's why they end up still feeling empty inside. No matter how much money they make, it's not enough. No matter how much food they eat, they're still hungry. No matter how much status they attain, they still feel empty. God is the only one who can satisfy the longing that he placed within us. But if you want to be right with God, you got to get rid of the other gods, the pretenders, the things that usurp the role of God in your life. And so these people said, okay, we'll do it. And they put away their gods. Doesn't say they smashed them. Doesn't say they burned them. Doesn't say they destroyed them. There are occasions where that happens. This apparently was not one of them. They put them away. Okay, we're going to put the Ouija board in the closet, up on the top shelf, with the Monopoly set. Are you saying there's something wrong with the Monopoly set? No, I'm saying that if you think you can take something that doesn't belong in your life anymore and just put it with the other things you don't mess with very often, you're making a big mistake. I don't have time to tell you stories. But suffice it to say, I've had a few happy experiences across the years when people who had struggled with something for a long time finally decided, I don't want that in my life anymore. And let me tell you something, they didn't put it away. They absolutely ground it to dust. Because it was like, I do not want to have that thing calling to me. All right? I want to be rid of it. That's what should have happened here. It's not what happened here. But the people at least put them away. And God, in his infinite mercy and indescribable wisdom, accepted that. Amazing. And so the people gathered together under Samuel's leadership to worship God. And when they came together to worship God, the Philistines said, ooh, we better leave them alone. No, when they came together to worship God, believers hear this, when they came together to worship God, to do the right thing, the enemies of God came against them to oppose them. Oftentimes, please make note of this, oftentimes when you go to do the right thing, your circumstances will get tougher. You can count on opposition. Jesus promised it. But it is so much better to be enduring difficulty for doing the right thing than to be headed toward destruction. So, the Philistines rallied and are coming against them. And they cry out to the Lord and the people are nervous. And Samuel asks the Lord to intervene on their behalf. And I love what the Lord did on their behalf. Did you see what it was? He thundered against the Philistines. That day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. God says, I'll provide the sound effects. It doesn't say bolts of lightning came down. It says the thunder was so loud it terrified the Philistines and they turned and ran and the Israelites came and slaughtered them. Okay. Absolutely defeated them with God doing sound effects. I just love that. The bottom line is this. God has a sense of humor and God will be glorified. And you can have whole armies that are arrayed against you. And when God decides to put them to flight, he can do it in an instant. I would love to have had a video recording of that event. Here comes the Philistine army. Okay? I mean, they've got on their gear and everything else, and suddenly from the sky, kaboom, like this, and the people are like, ah! Running in the other direction. Remember Psalm 2? He terrifies them in his wrath. The one who sits in the heaven laughs when he sees his enemies. Do you really think there's anybody anywhere who can stand against God? He is the creator of all things. He doesn't just have a majority of the power. He has all power. We are all dependent on him for everything, whether we recognize it or not. God's fiercest enemies can't draw their next breath apart from God. So, after this victory, a stone was set up, a monument, and they named it Ebenezer because they said, God has brought us this far. He has been faithful to us. It is important for us to have the memory of what has been done on our behalf. We can live with confidence because of the faithfulness, the mercy, the grace of our God. You don't have to name it Ebenezer, but I want you to remember the points in your life where God has intervened, shown himself strong on behalf of those who put their trust in him. And realize, all I need is God. He is my hope. He is my confidence. So, in order for the people to be reconciled to God, they had to recognize that he was holy. They had to put away the other gods, the other things that rivaled for God. And then, as they worshiped him alone, God came to their defense. And the final point is that they needed to remember that. That was what the Stone of Ebenezer was about. They needed to remember what God had done. And that's what you and I need to do. When we look at the cross, we need to remember what Jesus did for us, what God did to save us. Because our salvation is in God alone.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.